Well, welcome everyone to our fifth session on being found diligent. And let me just say at the beginning, thank you to those of you who have stopped me when we've seen each other or who have called or either sent text or emails saying how much this study has meant. That has really been an encouragement to me. And I'm glad that the study, the Word of the Lord, is encouraging you, because that's the only reason that I really do this. And so I'm very thankful for that, both to you and for the Lord in giving us this study. And we're really going to be talking more today about being found diligent as we talk about being diligent to the end. So let's pray as we get started today. Father, we thank you for your word. We love you and we love your word, and we open our hearts to hear what you have to say. I thank you that my voice will be like the pen of a ready writer, and that I'll hear what you say, Holy Spirit, in the voice of another I won't even acknowledge. I thank you that you're going to minister to each person individually, where we are, what we need. And we give you, Jesus, all the praise and glory. And we say, Holy Spirit, have your way in us today. Last week, we talked about diligently serving the Master. And that's really where it all boils down to, with our being diligent. 2 Peter 3:14 is the verse we've been anchored in, which starts out talking about beloved, you and I, looking forward to these things. That's his soon coming return. And you're actually going to see that today be amplified some. Be diligent to be found by him in peace without spot or blemish. And what does diligent imply? Steady, earnest, energetic. But it really means what we value, having something that we value so highly that we put forth that steady effort. We're energized by it, and we just want to be found diligent in him. And what are we saying? This is something that we build in our heart. It's a spiritual issue. It's not something we work up in our flesh. Now, last week, as we talked about diligently serving the Master, we looked at Ezra 7, verse 10. And it said that Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, but not just to study it, as Timothy warns us about, but to what? To do it. So he's studying the law so he can practice it, and then he wants to teach the law, his statutes, the Lord's statutes and ordinances throughout Israel. I really like verse 23, comes a little later, because it just builds on that verse 10. It says, whatsoever is commanded by the Lord of the heaven, by his word, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. So that's really talking about us serving him, as we have been talking about. We see that also, that concept, in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, where it talks about, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than men. And we saw how diligence can become a spiritual force that really propels us and helps us maintain a positive attitude when things might be difficult at times. Ready to serve. We went and we looked at this phrase, and we said that being ready to serve is not the same thing as getting ready. So if you hear be ready, that means you need to start today getting ready so that you are ready quickly. We saw examples of that in Matthew 25 with the 10 bridesmaids or the 10 virgins, whatever you want to say there, where 5 were ready and 5 were not. So might I just say 5 were diligent to the command and 5 were not? But then I wanted you to notice verse 13, and we really didn't stress that last week. But it tells us to be on the alert. And what it's really talking about is watching for his return come to the end. Now, I like that word watch in there, because that is a diligent watching. It's a continual type thing with an expectation. We looked at Genesis 15 because sometimes things get tough and you have to do some things. And that's what happened to Abram, is he slaughtered the animals and laid them out for a sacrifice to the Lord. And then it didn't happen right away. Some time went by before the Lord showed up, put him in a deep sleep. And in the meantime, some birds came to attack it. And he defended. Why? Because he valued what he had prepared for the Lord at his instruction. He guarded what was valuable to him, would be an easy way to say it. Now, we also saw that in being ready with Joshua in the first chapter of Joshua, the first couple of verses, that the Lord calls Joshua and basically says, okay, arise, it's your time. And I'm sure Joshua was just amazed because he went on to tell him, you're going to take him across the Jordan. But when did he call him? At the time of the flood season for the Jordan. So it may not look like the right time to us, but when he says, be ready, and then says, now go, go regardless of what the situation looks like. We talked about diligence and excellence and how those go hand in hand. We looked at 2 Timothy 2:21, which says we can be a vessel for honor, sanctified, set apart, and useful for the master. And then here's the word phrase I like, prepared, ready for every good work. To me, that sounds like someone who has that quality of excellence is also what? A diligent person. We see in 2 Corinthians 4:7 that it is something that it's due to what's in us, not our flesh. As Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, well, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, talking about the Spirit, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not about us, not from us. So both diligence and excellence are in you and I. And this may take some mind renewal on our part to begin to see ourselves this way. But even in the Old Testament, when the Spirit would come upon people, as it did with Daniel and his friends, where it talks in Daniel 1, 17 and 20 about the excellence that they had, and they were 10 times smarter in the wisdom that they had than all the other guys who worked for the king. But it all boiled down, as we saw last week, and closed without really finishing what we were going to do, but it was a natural point to pick up for today. And what we saw is it's about our love for one another. So it's the love of God in us. It's loving Him back. But if we love Him, we will love people. And that's what Galatians 5:13 says. The paraphrase or the segment of it that I picked out is, but through love, serve one another. So it's in love we're serving, and we're going to build on that today. So just be ready. Colossians 3:20 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily. I like that word. As for the Lord rather than for men. So we're doing it from our heart, which is what we've been talking about all along, that diligence is. And also that if it's not diligent, it can be that complacency, which is also a heart issue, keeping us from it. But all of our service is because we love Jesus and the Father. And so we want to do their will to please and bring honor and glory to them. So today, as we talk about diligent to the end, let me just stress what I started last week's discussion with. We must take this command of diligence seriously in all things. And I'll say we want to be diligent in all the works that He's called us to, be diligent if we go through some trials to get through them, but we also must be diligent in our love for others. Now, I mentioned last week that there was an and that I wanted to bring into it. So go with me to Hebrews 6, verses 10 and 11, and we'll talk about some value that's there for us. But then we're going to get right back in to this issue of serving others through love. Hebrews 6, the 10th and 11th verse. It says, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you've shown toward His name. So there's two things I want to point out with that statement. Is number one, He's being diligent toward us as well. Not to what? He says He's being not unjust as to forget. So He's diligently thinking about you and I. And then it says, through the work and love which we've shown to His name. Well, the question you might have is, how have we shown that? What have we done to show love toward His name? And it's this next phrase, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. In other words, to fellow believers, serving Him in that way. Verse 11 goes on and it says, and we desire each one of you show the same diligence. The same diligence is what? As the Lord does toward us, so as to realize the full assurance of hope. Now, let's just stop right there. I know it's not the end of the sentence, but to realize the full assurance of hope. And that's the benefits, the value that it brings to you and I. All of His promises that He's made and that He has promised to us. That's what He's saying. He wants us to realize the full assurance of what we've been hoping for concerning His promises. And we do that how long? Well, look at the last three words, until the end. Now, what He's saying here is He won't forget our deeds if it's done in love, but we must be diligent to it to the end. And we do that by being diligent in our love for others. And that is the reason that we want to develop this diligence, so that we do diligently love and through that love diligently serve. 1 Peter 4:8 kind of echoes that, but with a different word or two. It says, above all, keep fervent. Now, sometimes that word fervent there means hot, boiling, energetic. Keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, we know that last phrase, and that's what this verse really gets a lot of focus on. But look at the first part. Consider this word fervent. Keep fervent. To me, that's speaking diligence. And it comes from a word which means to extend oneself. So we're making an effort to reach out and have an impact beyond what we think we normally do. And that takes some boldness in doing that. But that's what this diligence will prepare us to do. Peter also has something similar in the first chapter of this same book in verse 22. And I'm going to read you the Williams translations. It amplifies it a little bit, just perfectly for what we're studying. It says, since you have purified your hearts by obeying in the truth, so through pure love, having that pure heart, we obeying in the truth, in sincere love for the brotherhood, here it's restating and stressing that again, you must love one another heartily and fervently. Now, again, fervently, this is a little slightly different definition. This Greek word indicates an intent. And that's why I used Williams, because it says heartily and fervently. So what we're seeing here is it's a hard issue, but it's something that this force of diligence propels in us once we see it and once we accept the love that the Father has for us. Paul, concerning our times that we are living in today, and this is 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2, says this, realize this, in other words, pay attention, because this is what you're going to find in these last days, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, it says perilous in a couple of other translations, King James, but it doesn't say impossible. And so this is another chance for us to walk in diligence through these times. Verse 2 then gives us a reason why I believe that these times will be so difficult. For men will be lovers of self. Now, isn't that the exact opposite of what we're talking about? Love God and love others because of our love for God. They don't care about God. All they care about is me, myself, and I. Saints, as we look at what's going on in the world today, we see groups of people who have nothing in common coming together to protest against Israel, God's people that He chose to bring Jesus into the earth through, for them, and as we know, for us. And people are just coming together in an unholy union where, again, they have no common threads except that they don't care about anybody else but themselves. They say they do, but if you really look at the actions, their actions don't support helping what they're talking about. Now, the remainder of verses 2 through 4, I just want to mention, these things that it's talking about is a result of them loving themselves and not knowing God's love and thus being able to respond to it. In the rest of 2 through 4, let me just highlight a couple of things. It starts out, lovers of money. So people love things other than God. And then it lists a number of traits that will come when you are that way, in being boastful, arrogant, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. Verse 3 starts out, unloving. So they really don't care about others. They use others to get what they want for themselves. And then it describes how some of that happens. It says they have no self-control. They will hate good. And then in verse 4, it concludes by saying, lovers of pleasure, lovers of things of the flesh, rather than lovers of God. Now, what does this say to you and I? It just says, I believe that we need to do a checkup on ourselves. Now, yes, we need to be praying about those things. And I will tell you, I believe we have authority over the demonic that's operating in this land. And if we will all pray against this attack that is coming, then I believe we diligently pray, we can walk through this and be unscathed, just like the children of Israel when they were thrown in the furnace. No smell of smoke, but it's something we will have to go through. Really, what we're talking about is, what do you love the most? Is it money, as some may do? Is it my own time? Is it attention? And for some, it can even be family, because the Lord is number one in our lives. Our spouses don't complete us. We don't complete them. And thus, we both need to serve Him first and foremost. But I wrote this down. We must get to a point where our loving diligently motivates us to want to do what He wants for me much more than what I think I want for me, because His desires for me will always exceed, in terms of benefit to me, what my own personal desires was. So we're talking about being diligent to His Word, being diligent to His instructions to do them, just like Ezra talked about, being diligent to the plan that He's called us to. Ezra was doing this to teach Israel. But really, it's talking about being diligent to serve Him through this love. And I'll add, to the very end. Now, this includes small assignments and big assignments, or I may say little trials and big trials or challenges. But being diligent to do what we're called, when we are that way, then promotion will come when we live that out. The events that we're going through today are really just preparing us for what is coming. And the rewards, the promises, will increase for us. Now, maybe not all of them in this world, but the rewards I care about are going to be the ones for eternity. Another way to think about this is being fully committed to being all in. You know, we joke about, I have joked about being committed and what it really means, and I'll say it's being pig committed. Chickens provide some things for breakfast, like eggs, but they are not committed to breakfast. But the poor pig is fully committed because it requires the life. Now, you understand the analogy, and we can grin at that, although I'm not trying to tell a joke, but I'm serious about that. Committed to the end. Let me show you a scripture. Zechariah, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse, a very short verse. For who has despised the days or the day of small things? Now, I've most often taught this as saying, don't despise small things because they're important. And that is true. But let me offer you a different perspective on this that I've seen. It can also mean, well, what does despise mean? To esteem lowly. So this I believe also can mean for you and I, don't despise or have low regard for seemingly small amounts of progress. as long as we do what? Continue to make those that progress. Now, we know that starting and stopping and starting and stopping is one of the traits of being slothful. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about slow yet steady progress. And this is something that I'll be honest with you that I've had to address in what he's called me to do, because there are times when you feel like, you know, is this really worth it? But the Lord always, and seems to encourage me as these feelings come on through you and through things that he speaks to me also. Sometimes we just get disappointed when we don't see more progress. We experience that in traditional things. When we were building the home that we're recording in today, there were times where we would look and we couldn't see progress. But sometimes that progress was being made, but we just couldn't see it because we didn't understand the process. Listen to the Complete Jewish Bible. It talks about one who doesn't think of much of a day when some minor events take place. So it's not always going to be the big, the grand, the glorious, but people are going to be impacted. I had a situation that I just don't feel I can share about where someone called me in great turmoil this week. And it turned out that it got even worse when they found out really what was going on. But it touched me that they would contact me to begin to pray with them and to seek counsel. And so the Lord will use other people to encourage you when you're going through these kind of times. And these times are critical to us for our development and for our promotion. So it's, again, diligence is key to the very end. And I might say, with love, walking in love, and walking with what? Endurance, which is patience, until that very end. Let's look at an account in John that I go to frequently that sets this up. And I'm going to start and read a couple of verses that I really don't have to, but these are such important verses. And I really think they're pertinent to this discussion of diligence. Jesus talking to his disciples in John 13, the 34th verse, says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And then this is such a strong verse here, 35. "By this," what? "By this love that we're loving each other with, all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's just an amazing verse to me, because I want miracles, yet it says, if I have miracles and I'm not loving, it doesn't have the impact that just the love does. Oh my. And then Peter pops up and says, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus said, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." And Peter said to him then, "Lord, why can't I follow you?" And listen to this phrase, "I will lay down my life for your sake." In other words, he's saying, "I'm willing to go to the very end for you." And Jesus answers and says, "Will you lay down your life for me, for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." So the question then that I went through, and I believe the Lord laid before me, is, do I really believe Peter meant what he said to Jesus? That I'm willing to die with you. I'm willing to go to the end. I'm willing to have that degree of diligence. And I'm going to tell you, I think Peter actually thought and believed that. But Peter didn't fully understand what diligence was. He didn't understand that he wasn't complete yet in what he needed to walk in that diligence. Now, I'm not going to fault him, because at this point, he didn't have the Holy Spirit. He wasn't a born-again man. But I think we can often believe we are more diligent in a lot of things than we are. And what are we seeing? If we find out we're not diligent somewhere, let's go back and start with the love issue. Now, Matthew 26 is a long, I want to go through a long series of verses here. And some of it we'll read and some we'll talk about. In Matthew 26, starting in verse 36, Jesus came to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "You stay here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, who were the two sons of Zebedee, and that's when he began to be grieved and distressed because he knew what was coming. He, the Word, knew what to expect with crucifixion. Not only the physical part, but the spiritual separation. In 38, he says to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here," and look at this now, "and keep watch with me." There's that word watch again, that we were told to watch for his soon return. So here it is again. And to me, it means, I want you to stay with me, stay awake with me. Might I just say, be diligent to stay in prayer with me? And he went before them a little further and fell on his face. And this is when he began to pray, "Lord, I know what's coming. I know how bad it's going to be. I really don't want this cup, but yet not my will, but yours." Now, isn't that exactly what we said about being diligent? And I would add to the end. So in verses 40 and 41, he comes back to the three and he found them asleep. But he says to Peter, it doesn't say he said to all of them, he said to Peter. And I think this goes back to what Peter had said earlier to him that we just looked at. So you men could not, and the men is added actually. So the literal Greek says, "So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? You couldn't be diligent for even an hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. For the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak." So he's saying you got to get to a point where this spirit man is controlling you. And again, he wasn't born again, so I'm not going to throw rocks at him. Verse 43 picks up and he comes back. And he found their eyes were heavy again. And so they were asleep. So this time, he just left them again and went away. And he prayed, saying the same thing once more. And then he comes to his disciples, saying, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is to be betrayed. Arise and let us be going." Now, this is when he said, "Okay, I've told you to be ready, but you're not. But I've got to go anyway." So Peter, if we can see this test of being diligent, did not pass that, as probably James and John as well, because he told them, "Stay alert, stay diligent, stay awake with me." And so the question we have to ask if we're going to study this is, do we see a significance in this? And I think you all probably do. And then picking up, looking way down to verse 69, because this is the chance that Peter had, 69 to 75, and I'm not going to read all of these. This lady comes to him in the courtyard, this servant girl, and says, "You were with him," but he denied it and said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And what happened? The cock crows. Three times this occurs. And so we see Peter's heart was in the right place. He thought he could progress, but he didn't prepare. He wasn't ready for what the Lord had told him would be coming. But it's interesting, the Lord gave him a chance to do that with these times of staying diligent and watching with him. I think as Peter had prayed for Jesus, for this turmoil that he saw him obviously going through, he too would have been strengthened. So it's not passing the small test, not learning from it, set him up for a problem when the big test came. And this is why the Master wants us to be diligent to the very end. Now we say, well, why to the very end? Because that's where we can receive his promises, those things that he has said he would give us. Now let's go back to Hebrews 6, and we're going to read 10 and 11 again, but I'm going to stress a few different things based on what we've seen. And we're going to read 10, 11, and then 12. "For God is not unjust." We talked about that. He's not going to be not diligent. "He won't forget your work and the labor of love which you've shown toward his name. in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. In verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Now, diligent to the end. Let me read you the Amplified. He wants us to be diligent, and this is the phrase he used, in realizing and enjoying the full assurance and development of your hope until the end. So we see that this hope that is set before us, that he's promised, that we need to be diligent in that walk, in that pursuit of having that hope manifest. The Williams translation, yes, says that you may enjoy your hope to the fullest. That means we're supposed to partake of it. The New Living says, in order to make sure certain that what you hope for will come. And then verse 12 says that when we're walking in that manner, in that diligence, he just warned us, don't slide back into become sluggish. And you know what that means. But imitate those who through faith and patience. Does that sound like a diligent person? One who is in faith and is patient. Those are the ones that inherit the promises. Those are the ones who make it to the very end. Or I would say, were diligent to the very end. Now, I want you to look with me at Hebrews 6, 13 through 15. Hebrews 6, 13 through 15. This is talking about the Lord promising Abraham. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. And he said to him, assuredly I will bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And thus, having patiently waited. Now we know that Abraham, was not fully diligent to the end. He didn't just stay on that one. He messed up sometime. But he got to the end. He was diligent. He got himself back on track. And as he waited, he obtained the promise. And then that's verse 15. Now let's just stop there for a second. So he was diligent to the end, and that's where the rewards of the promises manifested. And can I say, because he did that, then when the Lord said, go and sacrifice your son, what did he do? He was ready. He got up early the next morning to go do this, assured that the lad would come back with him. Now, hold your place there in Hebrews 6, and we're going to go to Hebrews 10, verses 34 and 35, talking. Again, the writers of Hebrews said this to the people that they were writing to there. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Something that was going to be theirs, it was promised to them. And it was going to be theirs that would abide with them. And then 35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. That's about what? Being diligent to the very end, in faith and patience, or in faith, enduring to the end. 36 says, for you have need of endurance, patience, so that when you have done the will of God, here we go back again, you may receive what was promised. So we see this in these two scriptures. Now I want you to go back to Hebrews 6, and I want to pick up at verse 16, and I'm going to actually read through 19. And I'm going to do this in the New Living Translation. It says, and when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it, and without any question then, that oath is binding. 17, God has also bound himself, just as we saw, with an oath, so that those who received the promise, that's you and I, could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. 18. So God has given both his promise and his oath. Those two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, so because of these things, his word, his promise, and his oath, therefore we who have fled to him for refuge can have what? Great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. And then verse 19 concludes by saying, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls, or our spirit man. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. And what do we know? The next verse actually says that Jesus has gone in there before us. He has prepared the way. We have him as an anchor in our soul, in our diligence, that we may enter into that holy of holy place and obtain the full promise. And we can do it because Jesus went there first for us. So we've seen today love, patience, endurance, a serving heart, and having that hope to the very end, not despising small steps of progress. And that's where we're going to be picking up and building on, says we equip ourselves to walk diligently so that we can learn from what Peter's mistake was. Now, I'm not saying we'll all do it perfectly, but we can do it because every time we miss it, just like Abraham, the Lord allows us to repent and get ourselves right back on track. And he was so assured that he would sacrifice his son and know it that he would come back to the camp with him. That's the diligence that we can have to the end. I hope you have a great week. I pray for wisdom and understanding and revelation as you ponder the things we've talked about. And we'll spend more time together talking about diligence in the next couple of weeks.